Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to read verses 1 to 11. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 to 11. And I know you guys are like groggy because you just ate lunch, so I will try to be quick. Try, okay? No, I think I will. I want to be a blessing, and I think this will be a blessing to you this morning. And it kind of ties in to what Pastor preached this morning. So I know that the Lord worked that out. So verse number 1, chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn down their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, or this afternoon. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come to church and just gather together. Thank you for keeping us safe this afternoon. I ask that you just help me speak. Just preach your word. Lord, help calm my nerves. I know that you have something for us this evening, and I ask that you help me be a vessel for you. Lord, I ask that you protect this place. Help the message just speak to someone. I know it's been a help to me, Lord. I ask that it's a help to someone here this morning or this afternoon, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. 2026 is around the corner. Who's ready? Okay. Now, some of you, I know, well, a lot of you have resolutions. Anyone have resolutions? Okay. Some things you want to get done? Okay. I know for a fact that many people have put on their New Year's resolution: get fit, lose weight, be healthy. And I know many times you put it on your resolution and it hasn't happened, but you put it on your resolution. It's on there. And in order to do that, you have to be radical with the things you remove from your life. You got to get those chips out of the pantry. You got to get rid of all that food that you love and you want to binge eat. You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of the chocolate by your bedside, all the candy that's in that drawer. You got to get rid of it. You got to be radical. If you really want to lose weight, you got to get rid of things that are going to cause you to fall, cause you to go back to your eating habits or what you love to eat and just eat all the time. You know, you got to get rid of it. You got to be radical. And in this chapter, Israel has to be radical. They have to remove a group of people, seven nations. That's a lot of people. God tells them, God commands Israel to destroy the Canaanites when he brings them into the land. Moses delivers God's word to his people and he tells them, hey, I have a promise that I've made to you, and I intend on keeping it. But you have to do something. You have to get this group of people out of destroy them from the land of Canaan, the promised land. This would be theirs. And after years of God promising this and telling them, hey, you're going to get this land, the time is coming, they're going to receive it. God does not forget. He always fulfills his promises. But before he does that, all of these nations, the ites, they need to go. They need to be destroyed. These seven nations were more powerful. They were stronger. They had more soldiers. They had all the equipment they needed. They were stronger than Israel. But yet God still promised that they would be destroyed and Israel would enter into the land. That's a powerful God. Before Israel takes this land, they have some responsibilities. They have to destroy this nation. No one could remain. Everyone had to go. No relationships could be built. They couldn't marry their daughters. They couldn't get their daughters to marry their sons. They couldn't mingle because they would turn them away from God's path. They would turn them to the sin that Canaan committed. And today, we know that God calls us to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. He tells us, hey, I want you to marry someone of that is like-minded, that has the faith that you have, that obeys me, that has the same priorities. So we ought to be careful. If you want to start a relationship, you got to marry someone or want to get to know that someone that loves the Lord, who prioritizes God. And this doesn't mean some people have twisted this and made it seem that God is against interracial marriage, which he's not. And thankfully, Jose and Audrey, perfect. I'm glad. I see some couples here who aren't white, but white-brown. No, it's awesome. God allows that. He's not against it. But rather, he was against these people because they didn't think the same way. They were idolaters. They sinned against God. He was against that. So be careful who you want to get to know, teenagers. Be careful. It's important that you marry a godly man or a godly woman because that's what God desires. Someone who pulls you closer to him, not someone who turns you away from him. Israel could not make a covenant, a treaty with these people. They couldn't even build a friendship because a friendship would pull them away from God. It may sound harsh. Why would God want to destroy a group of people? Seven nations. That's a lot of people. But these people were not innocent. They were wicked. They were given to sin. They did anything that they wanted and didn't regard God in their decisions. They reached a point where God's judgment no longer could be withheld. It sounds cruel, but God did not choose to kill these people after a day. No, it took hundreds of years. In Genesis 15, God promises Abraham the promised land. And it took hundreds of years for Israel to get to this point because God was waiting. God wanted these people to repent. God did not want to punish them. He wanted them to come to repentance because he loves all men. In 2 Peter, it says that God is not willing that any should perish. Any means any. Anyone. God was patient. He was merciful. There was no desire in him to destroy them, but he could no longer withhold judgment. And Rahab and Joshua 2, she repents after these the spies come into the land of Jericho, which was part of Canaan. And she decides, hey, these people have the truth. I'm going to repent. And she admits that the Canaanites had heard of this message, so they knew repentance. Noah, not related to the story at all, he preached for 120 years because God wanted the people to repent. Right. Lot preached to Sodom and Gomorrah before destruction came. Jonah warned Nineveh, wicked Nineveh. And thankfully, they repented. The Canaanites reached the point of no return. They were too far gone. They were given to sin. They rejected every chance they got to repent. The lines between right and wrong in Canaan were blurred. They did anything they wanted. They were idolaters. And I don't want to be explicit, but I just want to help you understand why God would do something like this. They would burn their children alive as sacrifices to their false gods. Man, their sexual immorality defied God's design and his commands. They were involved in temple prostitution, in adultery. in homosexuality, bestiality, rape, murder, witchcraft. It's crazy. These people were so given to sin. That's why God chose to destroy these nations. He wanted to remove them from the face of the earth. They were wicked people. They let their imaginations, their lustful desires become a reality. So God saw it fit to remove them. It might shock us, but honestly, God is perfect. He's the perfect judge. We cannot tell God how to make decisions or what to do. Right. Ultimately, he knows people's hearts. Right. So we can't really criticize God's decision here. Right. We just have to understand that he did it for a reason. Yes. Because he didn't want Israel to go towards the sins of the Canaanites. God was willing to forgive them. And thankfully, God is willing to forgive any person. He's willing to forgive someone in here if they haven't accepted him in their heart. And maybe God has brought you here, and I'm not sure if there are guests in here or if you've been in church for a year, if you've been in church for your whole life, you know God wants to forgive you. You've heard repentance time and time again, like the Canaanites did, but maybe you haven't really repented. You haven't accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. Maybe you've heard this message multiple times, but if you don't truly repent, there are consequences for your disobedience, and that's hell. And I'm trying to scare you or push you into making a decision, but I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't tell you. God was willing to fulfill his promise to the Canaanites, but knew that the Canaanites could corrupt Israel. He warned Israel in Exodus, Leviticus, telling them, hey, you need not to follow the sins of the Canaanites, because if you do, if you mingle with them, they will pull your hearts away from me. And I'm a jealous God. It mentions it in the previous chapter. God is a jealous God. He is not willing to share. He does not share what he has claimed. And if you're saved this morning, God has claimed you as his own. He has put his mark on you. So he doesn't want to share you. He doesn't want you to sin against him. The world's influences will want to turn your heart from what is right, from what is godly, to things that are not wrong, are not right. God is jealous, and he knew Israel's weaknesses just like he knows ours. So the Canaanites, they had to be destroyed. Israel could live the way God desired by removing influences that would derail their loyalty from him. Destroying them, severing a possible relationship, being radical with the way they handled this was the only way Israel could remain loyal to God. God called Israel to be holy. He set them apart for a special purpose. God called Israel to be different, to be set apart for himself. He didn't want to share. They were not to join in what other nations did, even though it was appealing, even though it didn't seem, oh, it's not that wrong. No, there needed to be something visibly different in the people of Israel. In the same way God wants you, God wants Eastside Baptist Church to be different than the world. The individuals at Eastside Baptist Church need to live in a way that the world notices something different in them. God called Israel his special people and loved them. And I hope you don't misunderstand that. It doesn't mean that God only loves Israel and that we have no hope. No, he said that because he had made a covenant with Abraham. That's why he chose to set his love upon the people of Israel. He chose to display his mighty works through a small, invisible, not so powerful nation. And thank God that he is still willing to use insignificant nobodies, those who have been rejected, those who, they're whatever people today. He's willing to use people like that today. And maybe God has brought you out of sin, out of a life of misery. He's brought you from a broken home, from a life that, I don't think I could have ever gotten out of that without God. He's brought you out of an addiction. He saved you from that. Man, God is willing to use anybody. But God did not save you so you could claim greatness. But so his power can be seen through you. Yes. He saved you. He's given you a greater purpose in life, and that is to be a light to nations, to people outside of this building, outside of these walls. He's called you to live out his purpose for your life, greater purpose. He's called you to be a light to others in every way, everywhere you go, at home, at church, where you go shopping, at work. But are you being a light? Are you being different? I hope you don't think you're the one that got yourself out of sin, an addiction, of a broken home, of a place where you thought you'd never get out of. You are not the source of your success. Amen. Give God the praise. Let God be praised for doing something great in your life. It's not you. Guard yourself from pride. You know, God protects his people, but he also demands obedience. God had an expectation if they wanted his faithfulness. He would show mercy and love to Israel if they obeyed. But if they rejected his commands, what would come? Consequences. It's what happens. Them being so close to entering into this great promised land did not give them an excuse to live the way they wanted. And you know what? You're on your way to heaven. You're living a Christian life, a life of benefits. That doesn't give you an excuse or a way to live the way you want. Oh, I can sin, whatever. I'm on my way to heaven. That's not it. You gotta love God, do what he asks of you, obey him. Whatever God asked of Israel, they needed to do. Israel could live the way God desired by removing the influences that could derail their loyalty from him. We are prone to mingling with the wrong influences because it's easier to keep them in our lives than remove them. It's a lot easier. We are surrounded by influences that want to pull us away from God. And if we let them, then, man, consequences will come. You know, God hasn't called us to eliminate a group of people, seven nations stronger than us. But he has called us to live different in a sin-cursed world. To wipe out anything and everything that could derail our loyalty from him. Yes. He's called us to live in a way that the world notices, whoa, there is something different about those people at Eastside Baptist Church. Do people say that about you? I mean, it's so important that we live different in the way we love, like Pastor mentioned, so that they see, oh, something is different about those people. If you're saved, God has called you to live separate from corruption, even if you're surrounded by it, and be not conformed to this world. And this doesn't mean we should be confined to a bubble. No, we still have a command to preach the gospel, to tell others about Jesus, the Great Commission. We are called to have a testimony. We're called to live separated, holy lives because he has a purpose for us. And just like he had a purpose for Israel to be a light to nations, to tell others about Jesus, to show his power through his people, he has the same purpose for us. To be a light to nations, to tell others about him, for him to be able to show our power through us. But we can only do that if we remove influences that could derail our loyalty from him. God's people, they can live in a way that God desires by removing influences that can derail their loyalty from him. So don't accept what the Lord has already rejected. The Lord desires for us to be holy. We are his people, and we ought to live like it. So important. We have influences in this world that want to turn our hearts away from God. Music can turn our hearts away from God, but I'm so thankful that here at Eastside we have music that pleases God, and there have been rules and regulations set, more like protection guidelines to keep what is reverent, reverent. Man, you ought to be thankful for this church and the standards they have. There are churches that waver, that turn away their hearts from what is reverent and try to entertain. Attempting to repackage something and slap Christian on it does not make it right. You cannot take something from Canaan and expect it to be holy. There are people, influences even within the church walls, that can derail our loyalty from God. Maybe some bad attitudes. Oh, that lady brought mac and cheese. She knows my mac and cheese is the best one. That's mine. That's my thing. No, it can happen. Even small things. Oh, that lady, oh, she did my ministry. I'm never doing my ministry again. No, we can take the wrong attitude. And you know what? We got to get rid of those attitudes, no matter how small it seems. Members who hold grudges, those influences need to go. Those thoughts need to go. If you want to please God or do what God desires, you need to be radical in how you remove this from your life. And I'm not saying this is a chance to be mean. No, you got to love. You got to love. But it's a chance to be real. You got to, man, it's true. I got to get rid of this. I can't really hang out with that person because they're influencing me for the wrong. Just be real. You possibly have a coworker, maybe a teenager in the youth group that criticizes you. Oh, you have standards? You got to be careful. You got to distance yourself. Oh, they make fun of your, they criticize you for trying to do right. You got to be careful. Distance yourself from people who fake the Christian life. Teenagers who come to church just because their parents bring them. You got to take this seriously. Because if it can affect your relationship with God, man, you got to be radical. You got to get it out. Is there entertainment you take in glorifying to God? Podcasts that share the wrong ideas about God, or podcasts, oh, they say bad words every now and then, every other sentence. What's the big deal? Because it can influence you to talk that way, though you realize it or not. Things on TV, social media that, oh, it's normal in today's age, in our culture, but include the wrong language, nudity, ungodly ideas. Just because it's trending does not make it right. You got to take radical measures to remove the wrong influence from your life, because they can derail your loyalty. Get rid of streaming accounts if you have to. Get rid of social media if you need to. You know, living in obedience enables us to experience God's blessings. And who does not want to experience God's blessings? Crazy if you don't. And you don't serve God because you want blessings, but because He is worthy of obedience. Because He is worthy of your loyalty because of all that He's done in your life. He saved you. He's brought you out from a life of sin when nobody wanted you. Man, God is so good to us. He desires to use us, but only if you are willing to be radical with the way you get sin out of your life. As God's people, we are prone to mingling with sin. Let's be honest with ourselves. We let things in that ought to not be in. You got to be willing to remove anything and everything that can turn your heart from Him and be radical about it. Living in obedience enables you to experience God's blessings fully. And we would be not, I don't know if it's bad or dumb, to not want that. Sorry for the word. It'd be crazy if we didn't want God's blessings or His power to be seen in our lives. Yes. Israel could live the way God desired by removing the influences that could derail their loyalty from Him. And just like Israel, God's people can live the way God desires by removing influences that could derail their loyalty from Him. The Lord wants your loyalty. He wants you to follow Him. So live a holy life, because He wants to prove His power through you. So don't receive what the Lord has already rejected. Don't blend in, because you're called to be different. Remove influences, maybe people, maybe the things you listen to, what entertains you, what you do when you're alone, because it can derail your loyalty from God. Be different, because He's called you to be different. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity You've given me to just preach Your word and just share what You've laid on my heart. I ask that it is a help to someone this afternoon. I know that it's been a help to me. So God, just help us be responsive to your word. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.